Good morning, everyone. It is Monday. What is it? July 3rd, I believe. Thank you for listening to my anchor station. Today, I'm going to be talking about why the podcasting industry and audio more generally is about to become more profitable. There are some big changes coming to the podcasting industry, and it's going to bring the opportunity for some real ad spend on the platform. In fact, these changes are so big, it has traditional radio shaking in their boots. iTunes is about to roll out a major metric system that's going to change the game, and it's going to tip the favors toward podcasting. And this applies to audio overall as well. Radio is scared. But how could podcasting, still a niche medium and platform, actually pose a threat to the established radio industry? Podcasts are unique in that they find a specific niche and cater to what that audience wants and needs. The listeners feel more appreciated, that their needs are being met by a podcaster that really dives into what the listener wants to hear. Mainstream radio, on the other hand, tries to throw a wide net and please as many people as they can. They tend to limit their content. They play the safe bet that they think will appease a general crowd. This, of course, comes off as boring. It becomes predictable, and connections with his listeners become inconsistent. Anyone who has studied the biggest marketers and entrepreneurs knows that this technique simply doesn't work. In today's world, you're much better off finding your niche, running with it, and there's no point in trying to please everyone because you'll just end up turning them all off. The best way to build an audience and a brand is to be as specific as possible, and podcasting is no different. Radio also knows that there's a lot more freedom allowed podcasts. The category is less filled with executives and investors to answer to, which means podcasters have free range to talk about whatever they want. There's no FCC regulations either, so a host can use any language they want and talk like a normal human being in ways the audience can really connect to. The change has started. We're already seeing a big change in some key players in podcasting, the biggest example being NPR. NPR is taking advantage of their podcasting and stepping up the game in advertising strategy. In fact, their podcasts bring in 70% of the company's overall advertising revenue. They boast bigger name sponsors than most podcasts, such as Kia, Subaru, and Chrysler. This is finally making a shift from a reticence to enter the untested world of podcasting to a track record of success, and those successes are proving to be impressive. Thanks to recent studies from companies like National Public Media, we are seeing how loyal podcast listeners are. We're discovering that companies are starting to see tremendous results from advertising on podcasts. For example, Sling TV received 3 times more engagement from their podcast campaigns than they did from their radio campaigns. Mack Weldon, a men's clothing company, saw a 100% sales increase, and Bombas, a well-known sock company, saw 40% more customers come to their company. The money is there. Big companies have big advertising budgets and are looking for ways to see results. Some of the biggest ad campaigns came from car manufacturers. In fact, we can see some of their budgets from 2016 in unmeasured campaigns. Keep in mind, these are unmeasured. Chrysler spent $1.3 billion, Ford spent $1.65 billion, GM spent $2.08 billion. Just these 3 campaigns alone spent nearly $5 billion on unmeasured ad campaigns. And that means they spent billions of dollars hoping that they would see a return, and we'll never have any proof of whether it actually worked or not. We've also seen a recent study that shows marketers can get more payoff from advertising on podcasts. It's been shown that the average podcast listener earns 20% more money than the average American. This means more disposable income and a target market with deeper pockets. What this means for podcasters: thanks to iTunes and other analytics companies, podcasters will finally be able to track real metrics. We will be able to see how many podcasts are actually listened to and which parts are listened to in order to give marketers a clear understanding of what results they're actually paying for. This gives a new power to podcasting that hasn't been seen in audio advertising space before. These kind of metrics don't exist in radio, television, or in print. With radio and television, there's no way of truly knowing what a customer reaches. You have no idea how many people just left their TV on and started cleaning their house. With podcasts, user engagement is much stronger and more reliable. Sure, we can't tell if the listener actually paid attention to the ad, but we can tell if the listener finished the podcast and heard that final spot at the end of your show or not. We can start charging by real listens and helping marketers feel that their ad budget isn't going to waste. A big budget company like GM is going to want to know They're getting up most for their $2 billion, and we'll soon have a solid reason for them to shift portions of those funds over to a reliable platform like podcasting. Podcasting is positioned as a contender to really be that reliable platform. How you'll have to change your mindset. Right now, the average podcast gets an average of $15 to $30 CPM. That's cost per 1,000 impressions, 1,000 downloads. Those prices may go up with these new analytics, but first we need to reevaluate the way we currently pitch ourselves. Podcasts shouldn't claim getting X amount of downloads. In fact, this is one of the problems with the podcast industry right now. Podcasters claim they get X amount of downloads, and marketers aren't dumb. They know there are subscription programs that cause people to automatically download episodes, and that there's a decent chance that most of them aren't even being listened to. This false pitch is one of the things that's been keeping the big players out of the podcast industry and making them concerned that they won't get the biggest bang for their buck. You'll be able to pitch how many listeners episodes get. You'll also be able to analyze what segments get the most and least amount of listens and be able to charge accordingly. This will allow for bigger advertisers in those prime spots near the beginning of the episode and a more budget-friendly spot near the end, all while giving proof that their ads are actually being listened to and by how much. You will have to be careful, though, and avoid front-loading your episodes. It may seem like a good idea to front-load your episodes with a lot of ads in the sweet spot, but you'll end up doing more harm than good. Listeners typically want to hear one or two 15-second ads at the top. If you place lengthy ads or too many of them, one of two things will happen. Either you will lose your listeners or they'll start to skip over those ads. With the new metrics, we'll know when ads are being skipped over, and if that habit is instilled in your listeners, your pricing will have to drop. Looking at our future, all the information being gathered and the technology finally coming out means one thing: more money for the podcast industry. Based on previous trends, the podcasting industry is expected to make $500 million by 2020. This is based on current analytics and the growth we've seen in the industry so far. Looking at the advertising budgets of the biggest marketers makes me believe this is a low estimate. When the new analytics systems rolls out through iTunes, there's no reason podcasters can't start convincing major advertisers to make the switch. Podcasting is about to see a major boom in revenue. Watch for it and position yourself to take advantage of it. Been listening to the Business and Tech Anchor Station. I'm Colin Thompson. Favorite the station? Please call in with your thoughts about this. Curious to know. I'll be sure to answer them on air, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, Colin. Great stuff about podcasting. My question is, do you feel as though Anchor is a platform that can compete with major podcasts due to maybe its time limit? Or does it need to compete? Is it something that can exist on its own? And how can that relate to bringing in advertising dollars, much like, you know, the larger podcasts or longer podcasts? And what's the future of Anchor, this platform? What do you see it living as? Thanks for the great content, and I'll be listening to you soon.
Don, thank you so much for your call-in. It's a really interesting question, kind of the question of where does Anchor fit into this whole thing? You know, as somebody who works deep inside the podcasting industry, I've been saying for a long time that, yes, the quote-unquote YouTube of podcasting is certainly around the corner. It's certainly coming in one form or another. In what form that takes, we don't really know. By YouTube of podcasting, I just mean, you know, podcasting is such an old technology. It's been around for so long. And the fact of the matter is it hasn't changed barely since, like, it was first added to iTunes in 2005. The technology itself has barely changed since RSS feeds allowed audio enclosures starting in 2001. That's what we're talking about here as far as how old the technology of podcasting is. Now, of course, audio content in general is more of the broad overall question of what we're dealing with. And how does Anchor fit into the idea of audio content, especially spoken word? Although, you know, as far as these stations go, it includes music and that sort of thing too. But I think that when it comes to podcasts, and anchor. My expertise is more in spoken word than in dealing with stations that include, you know, songs and that sort of thing. So when it comes to this question, it really is interesting because Anchor has definitely decided to go the Snapchat for audio sort of direction. And we'll see long term if that plays out as a good decision. As you mentioned, the time limit, that certainly is a factor here. The fact that we have that 24-hour time limit makes it a very Snapchatty, very Insta story for audio. I think Anchor 1.0 was kind of like Twitter for audio, and Anchor 2.0 is more like Snapchat for audio. But of course, now as of last week, we can now use this as a platform for creating a podcast, and you might as well just create a podcast from your episodes too, because they've made it so so easy and simple to do. So I think that they're making some good decisions, and that they're positioning themselves as both the Snapchat of audio and also kind of the Instagram of audio or YouTube of audio, because they're doing the 24-hour thing, which is interesting, and it provides a little incentive for people to jump on and listen regularly. But they're also using it as a back-end platform for people who want to get into podcasts, and they're making it a lot easier for people to get into podcasts. You know, the reason that a lot of times my agency is called in to work on creating new podcasts for clients is because there's so much that goes into it, and it's quite complicated. There still is a lot that goes into it, but just as far as the technicalities of setting up a new show, I mean, Anchor has brought it to a level of easiness that we just haven't seen before now. So I think that's smart. They're straddling the line right now between being the Snapchat of audio and being this interesting, like, YouTube/Instagram of audio content that's kind of this back-end platform for podcasts. The question, I think, is going to be whether or not people start to actually choose to listen to podcasts on Anchor as opposed to other podcast platforms, whether or not it can be turned into an actually better listening experience than podcasts. They've done a good job of allowing it to be, but when it comes to, you know, being a major player in the space and being able to monetize and compete with other platforms where podcasts are the traditional podcast hosting platforms, it's going to be a question of what we see as far as user behavior and their tendency to actually consume content regularly on the platform instead of on the podcast. I'm in talks with the Anchor team and with the podcast that I work with about, like, if we should be migrating some podcast first brands over to Anchor, how that would look, how it would be different. And we're just going to have to see how all that shakes out. You know, right now Anchor's a very small player in the space, but they're an exciting player, and they're one of the few that are really doing interesting things. So it's a wide open world. Somebody's going to win the world of audio, the platform for audio. I don't know if it'll be Anchor or not, but what we've seen is with podcasts in general is that it's a slow growth curve. It's not an instantaneous fast growth curve like other platforms. So whoever's going to win the platform is going to have to keep the long game in view. That's the nature of audio content.
Colin, it's Belinda here from Home Conscious in London. Just a very quick one. Listen to what you were saying about how the podcasting industry is going to be making more money over the next few years, and I'm inclined to agree with you. I still have about 4 or 5 episodes of my podcast up on iTunes, and I've recently rejoined Anchor. I was ran in version 1, I went away, and I've come back for version 2. Is it worth actually concentrating more on your own podcast, do you think? Or do you think that Anchor, because it possibly has the reach that it can just advertise anywhere and everywhere with new people on it, do you think it's worth me actually, or anybody else in my position who's had a personal podcast on iTunes, should they mingle the two together? Should they concentrate on Anchor, or should they go back to producing their own podcast in order to create the revenue that we're all thinking of creating? Let me know. Thanks.
Hey, Belinda. Thanks for the call in. So you ask a really interesting question, and one that, of course, is kind of getting to me as somebody who works with a lot of people who have existing podcasts. And I'm thinking through some of the same questions that that you're thinking through as well. And especially in regards to, you know, what does somebody do when they have an existing podcast and maybe they're interested in Anchor as a platform, but now Anchor has become a great place for people who don't have a podcast to get a new podcast set up and everything. But as far as it's syncing with old with podcasts that are already set up, I don't believe that functionality is built in yet. And honestly, that's something that Anchor should look into very seriously if they're listening to this, because we're going to want the option to say, okay, we've got an existing podcast, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to start recording everything on Anchor. But we still want to send everything we record on Anchor, all the episodes we put out on Anchor, to our old podcast. It should be a pretty easy integration. Until that point, my gut says stay with focus on Anchor, if that's kind of what you've been playing around with and that's what's making it easy. You should be able to still pretty easily somehow... Actually, this is an interesting thing. I hadn't even thought about this. I'm going to have to play around with the app. Can you actually download your episodes as... Can you export them as an audio file? If you can't, that would be weird. I assume that's possible. If it is, I'm probably going to have to check that once I'm done recording this. If it is, I would say just download it and still put it out on your old... Because the thing is, as long as you can find a good system for repurposing your audio content is audio content. And I'm a big fan of not repurposing, as in, if you're a YouTuber, I don't want to work on your podcast if all we're going to do is strip the audio and edit it and then throw it out on the podcast. I'm a big fan in creating content specifically for the platform, because that is how you create for that platform. That's how you create the best thing possible. But when it comes to audio content, I don't see any problem whatsoever with using the same content on your Anchor station that you use on your podcast, because it really is very similar. It's just that Anchor is a bit more fully featured. But it's a very, very similar situation. Although Anchor does try to limit you to the 5-minute thing. But if you're, the way I work with it, a lot of times I actually record everything in one and then chop it up, put some music underneath, put some music in between, however I feel like. I don't really like using Anchor's tracks. I'd rather search, find my own, but that's just kind of the producer inside of me. But it's still basically the same product. The episodes are basically the same product as a podcast product basically would be. I think if you want to start going in on audio because you think that it's a good platform for you, it's a medium where you can really voice yourself well on, which I think anyone on Anchor is probably thinking that. If that's the case, find a way to easily repurpose. And even if you don't want to jump back into your old podcast yet, Anchor's made it so easy, you might as well set up a new one. Do it for a bit, see how it is. You can always hope that, you know, eventually you can hook into the old one if you have listeners over there. But at this point, honestly, I don't see why anybody who has an Anchor station that they're keeping up with regularly shouldn't be putting it out as a podcast. Because, you know, you might as well have it on those other platforms. You might as well have it available. It's still audio content. It's an interesting question you asked, though, you know? Again, I think it comes down to what, as far as a medium, what's the medium you can best express yourself in? And if that medium is audio, I think you should be in on both Anchor and podcasting. But you can, I think you can use the same content for both. I hope that helps answer your question. Thanks for the call-in. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
How's it going, Colin? It's Pedro. First of all, I just want to thank you so much for calling into my station last week. I was so new to Anchor that I didn't even know what to do with that. But I also wanted to let you know I listened to your station this morning, and I do really appreciate what you were talking about today, which the transition in advertising from mainstream radio over to podcast. This is a whole new world for me. I've never had a podcast, and I've never been on Anchor. So I'm just still trying to find my own voice and then trying to understand the technical elements and the larger scale, you know, advertising aspect. You're opening up my eyes to a new world. And I also appreciate the way you broke down information, data, metrics, and made it digestible or bite-sized enough for me to digest, I guess is what I meant to say there. So thank you overall. I think you're doing a wonderful job, and I really look forward to learning a lot from you.
Thanks, Pedro. Really appreciate that. That's encouraging. Thank you for the call-in, and hope you continue to find it useful, and I'm looking forward to hearing more audio from you as well. Keep up the good work, man.
I completely believe the long game is the way to go. I agree with you on that entirely. And I said this on other stations, so forgive me that I'm repeating myself, but I think the next step is analytics. Whether they gather it and keep it internally to where they can come a representative for us, kind of an almost an MCN kind of a way, multi-channel network kind of a way, or they provide it to us, allowing us to reach out to advertisers and sponsors, so on and so forth. Because, you know, the more money that can come in through this app, the better. Better content, causing more people to be interested, getting more awareness. But I believe the next thing is equipping the users to make money from this. And I think the episodes feature was the right first step. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you're 100% right on the analytics thing, because, you know, as somebody who's working with podcasts and, you know, NPR shows, Verizon shows, stuff like that, that's the thing keeping Anchor from being a serious consideration for some of the top podcasts. Not that they couldn't pipe some of their content over here, you know, and just upload it as a clip from the browser. They could do that. Just if they wanted to establish a presence here, and it's something that I'm talking with some of my clients about and we're talking with Anchor about, but the drawback to using Anchor as your actual platform, you know, say you're a serious podcaster, using Anchor as your actual platform underlying your podcast as the foundation for your podcast and then submitting it. Yes, Anchor has made it very easy to submit it, but it's not a fully featured, you know, podcast management solution like, say, Libsyn is or some of the other places. And Podcast Connect from Apple is about to have in-depth analytics, like really serious stuff. So this is a place where Anchor really needs to up their game, but in some ways they sort of need to do some soul searching too. Like, if they actually feel like competing with, say, you know, Libsyn or Spreaker or any of those, they're going to have to change some things. Basically, you can't actually compete with those if you're going to have this 5-minute limit. You're a different product. Maybe that's completely fine, but you got to understand, you know, I'm not going to be bringing any of my NPR shows over here if we got this 5-minute limitation, which is okay. That's totally fine. If you want to be the Snapchat of audio, that's great. But you need to, that's a decision you kind of need to make. And right now they've kind of struck that balance where you know, you create for Anchor, but you can also throw it out as a podcast. You know, that's a nice little balance. You're not going to bring any of the major podcasters over that way. But, you know, that's creating an actually like a really nice platform for people who want to start establishing a presence. Now, for the Anchor First people, you're 100% right. Anybody who is an Anchor First sort of user case, we're going to need those analytics, and we're going to need some in-depth analytics, especially because podcasts are having actual in-depth analytics, like in episode. We're going to be finding out from Apple very soon, before the end of this year, where people are dropping off in the episode, you know, where they're skipping ahead and all of that sort of thing. That's the sort of in-depth analytics we're going to need from Anchor if they want to compete in this space. But, you know, again, it's a question of how they want to compete, because it's not like right now they give us as much analytics as they give Snapchatters. And if they are really trying to go the Snapchat for audio route, maybe that's all they need, you know? And then they're just also creating a nice little bridge so that you can throw your episodes out as podcasts too, but really not trying to be a competitor in the podcasting space. That's okay too. I can see that route for them. I could definitely see that route for them at this moment. They've kind of got, they have as much analytics as, say, a Snapchat would. But I agree. The more analytics, the more value you can bring. That's when you can actually start bringing on sponsors in this platform. I don't know that we have enough listeners here to really start bringing on sponsors. You know, like, I don't know what that number one spot in the trending gets in terms of listenership. So I don't know if it's enough to really interest a sponsor. But obviously, that's the path, you know, that's the growth path. And audio tends to perform the best in terms of payout on a per listener basis. So that's a very important thing for Anchor to bring into the mix. On the other hand, Anchor's going to have to think about how they monetize at some point. Like, that's going to be a very important conversation that they're going to have. And, you know, if they decide they want to be YouTube instead of Snapchat, well, they're going to be putting their own ads in. If they keep the Snapchat route, then they're going to be finding ways you know, then they're going to be, it's a much more difficult path. It might be a better path in the long run. I don't know, but they're going to have to be finding much more creative ways to monetize. They might want to keep that sponsorship spot open for themselves, though, if, you know, if they're feeling like becoming YouTube, who puts on their own pre-rolls and stuff and then monetizes in that manner. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry that was so rambling. I didn't come through with a cohesive thought there, but lots of thoughts for you. Thanks for calling in, and everybody else, let me know if you have any questions. Talk to you soon. Bye.